The Americans continue to talk up hopes for a peace deal in Gaza, but both Israeli and Hamas officials and indeed experienced Middle East negotiators and commentators are striking a different, more pessimistic tone. US Secretary of State Antony Blinken has called the latest push for a deal the best and possibly the last opportunity. He's in Doha today. But Hamas has accused the US of merely buying time for Israel to continue its genocide by proposing an amended accord, and it's urged the world to pressure Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to sign the earlier Biden deal put forward in May and backed by the UN Security Council. And while the push for a ceasefire and hostage release goes on, so too does the killing, with an UNRWA spokesperson saying death is now the only certainty for Palestinians in Gaza unable to escape the Israeli bombardment. For more, we're joined by Greg Karlstrom, Middle East correspondent with The Economist. Thanks for joining us, Greg. Antony Blinken and the US administration continuing to insist that there is hope of achieving this ceasefire. Is there any evidence so far that they are right or that they are moving in the right direction?
No, there's not. And as you say, it's remarkable that Israeli security officials and Hamas officials are both in agreement about the fact that these talks are not progressing and that Prime Minister Netanyahu is largely to blame for that. I mean, I think what's happened over the past few days is Blinken met with Netanyahu. He met with other Israeli officials, heard about the latest proposal that Israel is willing to sign on to, which is a proposal that Netanyahu knows Hamas will not be willing to accept. It includes some conditions around, for example, keeping Israeli troops on the border between Egypt and Gaza, which Hamas has said it's not willing to accept. That is as far as Israel, or at least as far as Netanyahu, is willing to go. And the Americans are not going to find some creative diplomatic solution that will make that palatable to Hamas.
But have the Americans, as Hamas claims, shifted the goalposts in Israel's favor?
We're going back to the end of May for the sort of starting point of these talks, when President Biden put forth a proposal, what he called a framework for a ceasefire, in a speech at the White House. After he did that, Israel requested to add a number of provisions to that framework agreement, things like a permanent presence of Israeli troops along that border, and then also maintaining some sort of military presence in the center of Gaza to prevent Palestinians from moving freely from the south to the north. Those have now been added to the American proposal. So this is something that the Americans put forth that Hamas agreed to back in July, but it has now been amended with these additional requests from Israel, and requests that many Israeli observers think were designed to make it unacceptable to Hamas.
How much of a difference is there between the July deal, as we'll call it, or the July proposal that Hamas, it appeared, was prepared to sign up to, and what's on the table now? How much do we know about what's on the table?
Much of it is the same. The broad outlines of it are very similar. It would be a three-phase agreement. There would be an initial six-week truce, a release of some Israeli hostages in exchange for a much larger number of Palestinian prisoners. Then a second phase, which would transition into a permanent and open-ended ceasefire, and then a third phase where they would begin reconstruction of Gaza. And sort of no one thinks they would ever get to that third phase. That's quite far off. But this is the proposal that Biden put forth back in May. This is the broad outline of what's on the table to this day. The only two significant differences, again, are those questions of permanent Israeli presence along the border between Egypt and Gaza, and then a permanent military presence in the center of Gaza. Those are the two substantive things that have been added to the text.
Antony Blinken has been back and forth to the Middle East now, I think it's nine times. And that's an indication, on the one hand, of the US commitment to trying to forge a deal. On the other hand, how long more is he going to continue to do this before admitting that the negotiating tactic they're adopting is not working? And is there any sign? And he sat down with Benjamin Netanyahu for some 3 hours on Monday. Is there any sign at all that he wants peace?
There's no sign that Netanyahu's position has changed, and there's no sign that the Americans are prepared to get any tougher with Netanyahu than they have in the past. I mean, as you say, this has been a monthly thing since October, and at least since the beginning of this year, Blinken, on his visits to the region, has been pushing for a ceasefire and time and again has been rebuffed by Netanyahu, who has done everything in his power to try and prevent one from being implemented. We hear constantly that the administration in Washington is unhappy with Netanyahu. They're fed up with him. They're sick of him. But they haven't yet translated that into any sort of tougher policy towards Israel, any withholding of military aid or cuts to arms sales, things like that, that would actually have a real impact on the Israeli government. There's been some talk in recent days that if this round of ceasefire negotiations collapses, that Joe Biden might give a speech blaming Netanyahu for the collapse of those talks. And so for the first time, he might at least put some rhetorical pressure directly on the prime minister. But that seems as far as the Americans are willing to go so far.
Greg Carlstrom, Middle East correspondent with The Economist. Thank you indeed.